thanks for listening to RTE Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife na Cormac. In this episode, I'll be talking to musician Emer Mayock about the music of County Mayo. Fiachna o Mungoin and Ferdia o Mungoin there with two reels, Tom Ganley's number one and Sonny Harn's. And that was taken from a double CD called Music of Mayo. And I'm joined in studio by Mayo musician Emer Mayock to tell me a little bit about what is a very interesting project. So Emer, you're very welcome to the
Thank
Rolling
you.
Wave.
Thank you, Aoife.
So tell me a little bit about the background to this project, Music of Mayo.
This project started actually the autumn and winter of 2017, and I was invited to become the artist in residence at Linhall Art Centre in Castlebar. And I came up with the idea of exploring the music of the county, exploring the musical heritage of Mayo, past and present, and to engage with local musicians and to look at collections, what had been collected, what exists, and then a little bit of my own field recordings of music that I either sourced and gave to musicians to engage with, or indeed I went to musicians around the county and talked to them about their repertoire, where it came from. In some cases they were original compositions, and in other cases they came down through families, came down through generations of musicians and from people who may have visited regions of the county. So it's a mixture of all of those things.
And as far as you know, was this sort of the first sort of comprehensive look at the music of the whole county, or do you know?
It is not it's not the first time, and by a long shot. And I mean, collectors have been coming into County Mayo for a very, very long time, going back through centuries. And also more recently, people like Brendan Brannock, Seamus Ennis visited Mayo, and different people took different things from their visits, depending on their resources and the time they were given. But hugely influential in Mayo is Joe Byrne. He's a historian, he's a musician, he's a singer, he's passionate to the backbone about traditional music in Mayo and why it is distinctive and why it needs to be more visible and audible. So those two tunes we heard there, for instance, came from Fife Agus Fidjo, just one of the many collections that he has done over the years in terms of talking to people. He believes in the backstory to music, the backstory to songs. And so he would be a huge influence on me and on the musicians of the county, and other people like Alan Morris Rowe, who has huge collections of recordings. Again, some of them not delved into. We have to get them back out and get people playing them, I would feel. But certainly there's a lot there.
OK, well, we'll talk about some of the collections in a minute. But just going back to the very start. So when you started this project, I mean, where did you start?
I started in a room in the Linhall Art Centre. Okay. And I started at the desk research, and I started to look at as much as I could find out. But obviously, very soon then I reached out to key people like Joe Byrne, like Julie Langan, John Hoban, Gráinne Hamley, people who have done their own research and people who are on the ground, people who play traditional music from Mayo. So that was my main aim, was to talk to people about where they were getting their music. So from there, I kind of, the tree branched out further into all of those people's sources and all of those people's influences and the tunes they liked and the songs they loved.
Well, you have a double CD here, as I said, and we're obviously not going to be able to play all of it. And I suppose it's important to say that even though it's a double CD, this is always going to be a work in progress, and you can't have everybody on this.
Absolutely. It doesn't aim to be any comprehensive view. If there is, one musician playing a tune on this, there's about 20 more who could do that in exactly the same way or bring something very different to it. So the CD has 37 different musicians and on it, or 37 tracks. But it is a skimming stone on the water, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's a very healthy place to be in as well. Okay, well, we're going to listen to a song. There are a number of songs on this, and we'll talk about the singing a little bit more in a minute. But this song comes from Achill. Now, Achill obviously is part of County Mayo, but it's very much its own place as well. Tell me about this, the track recorded for this project.
Yeah. Well, Achill is a beautiful island, and though it's connected to the mainland, which makes it more accessible to us, it's a beautiful place with a history of its own in terms of music and song. Now, one of the key figures on the island is John Twin McNamara, who was responsible for instance, among many things, reviving Scolacla in the 1980s. But I went to his home in Duwa in Achill, and on a winter's day, it was a stunning place to be and a great company with John Twin. His knowledge and his passion was just so prevalent throughout the afternoon. And he played flute and he talked and he sang. And of course, this is one of the songs that has become synonymous with John McNamara and now with Achill and Mayo music, Chonga Ven Ar Mohor. And he set music to this poem by Seamus O'Mwelia, and it has a specific reference to the island of Achill, which John has written into it, but he has written the music for it, and this is him.
Glenem in Skakjarda, foem wog yasiv in alling, marhjol te bing na glashoch, no kronon kjol te shi. Ta shi egeri in arje, Egnartu guis egardu, tanu im egeri lodger, chioch togging erhui.
John Twin McNamara there from Achill, agus Kana Tanga bean Tanga Veen or Mohar Tamui O in a Dushocht le Dochus, that is his own melody to a poem written by Seamus O'Mwelia. And I'm talking here to Emer Mayock, who has worked on the music of Mayo Project. Emer, Achill itself, I mean, John Twin McNamara there recorded in Achill by you. Mm-hmm. Does Achill have its own distinct musical identity, or where does it fit in the sort of the county, the style of the County of Mayo?
Well, I guess that it's at one point very cut off. It's 50 miles from Castlebar, which is the county town. Mayo is a huge county. So, of course, Achill has its own interpretation of music and song and the language. The piping, the pipe band tradition is huge on the island, and it's really one of the ways that people, a lot of musicians, first engage with music. And I can see by some of the flute players and whistle players and Uilleann pipers, they actually play in the style of bagpipers, which is really interesting. And they have that repertoire and they have that community element, that community music, which is really great to see.
And talking about style, I mean, obviously when you chart 37... tracks I think you have here, and many more obviously that you could add in and maybe will add in future editions, but do you kind of chart a style then, or a very distinct repertoire, or what did you find in terms of that?
Well, I suppose in this project, I mean, one of the aims was to try to find a musical voice for the county, to see where the repertoire was coming from and where it was going out to. And I suppose what's interesting about the project is that It's interesting to look at the provenance of the tunes that came in when people played music for me and when I recorded them and when people brought their repertoire, because it's an interesting way of looking at traditional music as a whole, because we look at the kind of viral nature as such of how a tune takes a life of its own. So in that, we would have had a lot of music that went to America and came back through recordings, and that was very prevalent in the music that a lot of the older musicians were playing, and also the younger ones. They're looking to people like John McFadden, and they're looking to people like John McGrath, and they're looking at music that I suppose was revered and regarded outside of the county, and then it became okay to be, the musicians are cognizant and knowledgeable about where their music comes from. But in an attempt to find that musical voice, I think that's an ongoing part of the Music of Mayo project, but I also think it's a way that musicians themselves can use, say, the musicofmayo.ie website as a resource so that they themselves can explore what that question is and what that repertoire is and what that style is.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the website shortly. But you just mentioned McFadden, and that's a name many people might recognise even from tune titles, McFadden's Handsome Daughter and tunes like that. Tell me a little bit about him, and because he is a key figure in the Music of Mayo.
He's a huge figure, and he was from Newport, just outside Newport. Like many before him and after, he emigrated to the United States in the 1860s. And that's where he spent his life. Of course, he came under the radar of Francis O'Neill in Chicago, and O'Neill absolutely revered him. He loved his playing. He talked about his compositions and he talked about his style and his repertoire. So O'Neill got a lot of tunes from McFadden. A lot of them are attributed to him as a player and some are attributed as compositions. But McFadden famously was the kind of person, in accounts of him, that he would teach tunes that he had composed to people and then they would end up teaching them back to him because he didn't see music in that way. He was a complete oral player, and he had a huge repertoire, but it would seem he didn't kind of set aside his own compositions as distinct from traditional repertoire. He was hugely influential. There are people in Mayo like David Lennon who has, again, contributed to this project. And he has done a lot of study on Mayo musicians who went to the United States. And McFadden is looming large among those.
We have a track here of his. Tell me a little bit about this track.
This is actually John McFadden playing, which is fantastic. I didn't record this. It was recorded circa 1903.
But before your time. So.
Yes, by O'Neill. And it's really, it's a beautiful piece, and it's a slow air version of Tír na n-Uí-Ó. And on the website, you'll find a huge discourse about this tune in particular, because it has so many different. It's a very interesting way of looking at how one tune can manifest itself depending on who's playing it and exactly where the source came from. But McFadden is performing it here with James Early.
Tír na n-Uí-Ó, they're played by McFadden and Early, and that's obviously a cylinder recording from around 1903. Eimear Mayock, you were talking about collectors in Mayo earlier, and you mentioned Seamus Ennis. Were there many collectors who came in and did studies in Mayo? People like Bunting, those kinds of people.
Yes.
Did they travel to Mayo?
Yes, and in their collections you'll find several references to music collected throughout the county. There may not be much information, but it might be Blind Harper in Westport. Petrie talked about the Music of Mayo very lovingly, and he talked about the music of the people who lived up the mountains who didn't really have instruments. You know, a lot of people whistled and sang. So we touch on that quite a bit in the Music of Mayo, and on the CD as well. There are some recordings of music that came from those collections that specifically reference Mayo as the source of the music.
And your own music, because obviously you grew up in Mayo, you've been playing music all your life, and there are a few tunes on this CD of your own playing. Tell me a little about these.
Yeah, well, I just took these from my research. These came across as tunes that kind of I felt had a really nice residence or resonance in the melody. And the first one was collected on Clare Island in 1841, called John the Smith. That appears in the Ford collection. I really just love the fact that there's so many beautiful islands off Mayo, off the coastline. So that music really resonates with me, you know, the tune, the melody. And then Yourself Along With Me appears in the Bunting manuscripts. And that was collected in 1802 in Castlebar, which is my kind of nearest town. And then the William Ford collection, again, was the source for a tune that has become known in Mayo as the Clare Island Rowing Tune. And it was heard on the passage to Clare Island from the mainland. So maybe the people who were doing the rowing were humming this or singing this. And it's a really beautiful tune.
Eimear Mayock there on flute with John the Smith, Yourself Along With Me, which is a fantastic title, and the Clare Island Rowing Tune, An Air and Some Jigs. And that's taken from the double CD Music of Mayo, Kill We O, which we're discussing here on The Rolling Wave with Eimear Mayock. Eimear, you went around and did a lot of field recording for this project, and you met up some older musicians. Tell me about some of those. And these musicians, are these people who are out and about in sessions, or are they people who are playing at home, or where did you find them?
Yes, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of people who would have played out for years and years and don't go out anymore for various reasons. Some of those music communities have now passed on, and there's a different kind of way in which people get out and play music. So it might be a more occasional than going to somebody's house, for instance, and playing, or going to a particular session every week. So it may be monthly, or it may not be at all. So it's a mix of people. People like Batty Sherlock, who I went to his house. He's East Mayo singer, baron player. We spent a lovely afternoon together. He sang songs for me. Jimmy Murphy from Swinford, from Meelick, and Michael Loftus, just over the border in Curry, but is part of a music community that danced between the Mayo and Sligo border. And that's a very significant thing, actually, in Mayo music, is that influence and cross influence. Also Thomas Bernard Ryan, who's from Ducastle, wonderful flute player and whistle player, and there's music in his family going back generations. In fact, Brannock collected from his father, and his father Michael, and his son Fenton is a wonderful flute player as well. So there's an intergenerational music there that's still very prevalent in his home. So we played a lot of tunes together, and he played for me. Music that one in particular, which I recorded, which came from his grandmother, his maternal grandmother, Margaret Phillips. She would have died in 1953. So this is going back quite a bit. And it's a tune called The Pullet.
Thomas Bernard Ryan there playing a tune called The Pullet from a double CD called The Music of Mayo, Kill Vuo. Eimear Mayock, you were talking about the sort of the border between Mayo and South Sligo and how that affects the music and the similarities in style mm-hmm. and repertoire. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, places like Ducastle were very rich in musical activity at a certain point. So what I suppose is obvious is that, you know, music is not divided by county boundaries. So you don't just stop having music of Mayo at one point and you start suddenly having music of Sligo. So there was cross communities there. So people visited houses, not just for a night, but they might stay for a while. And repertoire would be exchanged. Thomas Bernard Ryan, for instance, who played the pullet there, he played other tunes for me, one of Brendan Toner's tunes, and he followed it with the Calavel jig. And he knows that Brendan Toner has taught that tune to Fred Finn, and Fred Finn taught the Calavel to him. So there's a huge kind of history there of style and repertoire being shared in that area. Also, the Henry family were key musicians in that area. John Henry, you know, he was influenced by the generations who went before him, and then he went on to influence musicians from the region. So when I recorded for the CD, Jimmy Murphy from Swinford, he chose to play with two musicians who are two flute players from the Sligo region. So you have Michael Loftus, who's from Curry, which is just over the border. And then you have Gregory Daly from South Sligo. And they share a common repertoire, those three musicians, and they've been playing together for years. So their style and repertoire is that confluence of activity between communities, which is a beautiful, really lovely thing. And they're going to play actually one of John Henry's reels, and then followed by another influential musician, the Piper Gorman. And he frequented that same region, South Sligo, East Mayo, Roscommon, during the end of the 19th century. So here's John Henry's reel and John Gorman's reel.
Johnny Henry's and Johnny Gorman's reels, played by Jimmy Murphy on fiddle, Michael Loftus on flute, and Gregory Daly on flute. Eimear, we've listened to an awful lot of instrumental music. Now, we heard a song earlier on, Oran Ascoilge, but is there, or did you come across, or did you document much of a singing tradition in English as well as Irish? And who were the people you met working on this project?
Yeah, I did indeed. And of course, we can't play everybody today, but John Hoban is a teacher of mine. He taught me when I was growing up, and he has a very good song repertoire, but he also writes songs that tend to really be from the ground up about Mayo. So I went to him. Batty Sherlock sang me quite a few songs that would have been in his repertoire since childhood. And also I recorded Paddy Joe Tighe from Ahamore, and I recorded him where he now lives in Ballyhaunas. Now, he's a fantastic accordion player, he's a lilter, he's a whistle player, but he sang also for me that day, and it's a great song called The Girl I Left in Ireland. It was written in 1915, also by a man from Ahamore called Hugh Nolan.
As I says in contemplation in the Yankees' wealthy nation, but my memory o'er the ocean never stray, for the theme of all my pondering since I caught the lust for wandering is the girl I left in Ireland far away. When the evening fading shadows fell across the verdant meadows, and old Sol was shooting forth his parting ray, sure I kissed my winsome Norian in the grassy winding Borean, when I left her there in Ireland far away.
Great singing there, The Girl I Left in Ireland Far Away, sung by Paddy Joe Tighe. And that song was written around 1915 by Hugh Nolan, who was from Mayo. And we're here on the Rolling Wave talking to Eimear Mayock about the music of Mayo Kill VO. Eimear, we've been talking a lot about, we've talked about collectors, we've talked about some of the musicians you met. What about the new generation of Mayo musicians? I mean, for this project, for example, were you looking to try and document historical material, or were you looking at contemporary stuff as well, or how did you do it? And who are the people, the sort of younger musicians in Mayo, and how are they relating to all of this material?
Well, one of the main aims, really, as the project went on for me was, you know, looking at collections, looking at what's out there, what has been collected, or what are people playing. But I became very interested in immediately getting these things off the page and giving them to people to play. So for part of the project, I engaged with four teenagers who play traditional music, and I taught them repertoire, and then they have started to, you know, play and arrange the repertoire, and we recorded some of that. So that was really important, I felt, to get that ball rolling. And since then, I've done a few Music of Mayo workshops where people come and learn only Mayo tunes, just to try to...
And are you taking those tunes from collections, or are you taking them from the field recordings?
From the field recordings, okay. And from what we found when we started to collect for the website Music of Mayo and to create that resource. So, you know, it's all either Mayo sourced, Mayo collected, or associations with Mayo in terms of, you know, tune titles, musicians associated strongly with Mayo musicians. So it's a mixture of all of that.
You've mentioned the website a couple of times, so we should probably explain that a bit, little bit, because it's not just a website where you log on and you have a quick look. It's very much a resource. That's what's mm-hmm. planned, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a collection, not definitive in any way. It's going to be added to. There's a lot of stuff there. It names the sources where possible, or the composers. Where possible, there's an actual recording of the music, but on every tune that you find, there will be a little MIDI recording so that you can get some idea of what the tune sounds like.
So you log on, you put in, you look at the titles of the tunes, you decide I want to learn that, mm-hmm. and then you click in, and that's all there for you.
Yes, and also there's photographs of all the field recordings in terms of the people I met, the people who performed in the Lennon Hall at the launch of the CD. There's a video that documents what the project was about, a short video. So it just gives you an idea of what went on thus far in the Music of Mayo project. And it's been compiled, collected, and put there technically by Donald Siggins, who needs to be thanked in relation to this because it couldn't exist otherwise. It's done in the style of almost like a hardback book that you can browse. Okay. And what I love about collections and manuscripts is that you open it and you find something new every time. So I would hope that that's what this resource is like for musicians.
Well, we're going to play one or two more tunes just before the end. This tune is played by Tim and Marie McHugh, and it refers back again to McFadden. Tell me a little
yes.
about this.
So Tim and Marie McHugh are brother and sister from Newport, and very near where McFadden came from. Now, they're fantastic musicians and have great knowledge of local music. So when I asked them to be part of the project and would they field record, they were very happy to do so, and they came up with these two tunes. And they're an example, I suppose, of how the influence of McFadden has impacted and continues to impact on younger musicians down through the generations. So these are two fantastic hop jigs from McFadden called McFadden's Hop Jig and Spatter the Dew.
McFadden's Hop Jig and Spatter the Dew, played by Tim and Marie McHugh from Newport there. Eimear, we've talked a little bit about the sort of future element of this project because there is the Music of Mayo website. But it's also, I mean, as you said, you can't cover everything in one go. So this is an ongoing project, isn't it? You've sort of started something here now.
Yes, for me, it was very much a beginning into looking at the Music of Mayo. That obviously incorporates music, song, the dance tradition. I've engaged with so many people who have so much to say and so many musicians who have repertoire, who have their own knowledge, their own private recordings, all of that. And I really want to delve into that further and to bring people along with me in terms of exploring the Music of Mayo and exploring past, future, present repertoire, style and approach to music of this county.
OK, well, look, it's a fantastic project. And as you say, I think it probably will go on and on and on because you're constantly building on it, which is great. And obviously a brilliant resource for younger people coming up. So congratulations and thanks a million for being with us on The Rolling Wave. We're going to end with a track from Tom Doherty. And I think Tom Doherty is very well known for playing for dancers as well. He's great at playing for set dancers and for solo dancers. So what's this track then?
This is this is a set of polkas and it comes from the composer James Doherty, who lived near Newport in Mayo as well, up near a beautiful lake called Furness. Polka Sean MacInri, followed by Polka Joe Kane. James Doherty was a fiddle player and he would have taught Joe Kane. So these two polkas are really loved by the Dorada set dancers in Mayo, and they get the musicians to play the Polka MacInri, Polka Joe Kane, and then just they get them to go up a notch into A and repeat Polka MacInri at the end. And Tom Doherty, from Foxford, from a great family of musicians, played this beautifully for us for the project.
Thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast. For rights reasons, the music here is shorter than in the original broadcast. So if you want to hear the full versions, just go to rte.ie/Radio 1. And this programme was first broadcast on the 21st of April 2019. So till the next time, Gura Míle Maithagaí agus slán.